you would look at Psalm 125, again, we're looking at the Psalms of Ascent. As they go up the mountainside to worship God, they sing these songs to God, written in the form of a song, but they can be sung in the form of a music. So Psalm 125, the Bible starts out, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them, the workers of iniquity. Then peace be upon Israel. I wrote in my Bible, peace be upon the United States of America. We need the Lord's peace. Don't you agree with that?
Amen.
The title of this message today is the Lord, as he's the strength of his people. Last week we looked at his protection for his people. Today we look at the strength of his people. As we kind of think about all these psalms, four of them were written by David and some of the others, we're not sure who wrote them. But looking back at David as he's writing some of his, he writes, the Lord is his fortress. The Lord is his protector. The Lord is his strength. How many times has David written, the Lord is my rock? So we need to understand that all these psalms are drawing us into a trusting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer has been that we put all these things together and realize, and I know that we all know it at one time or another, but there's other times in our lives that we need to know that God is our strength. He is our fortress. He is our rock. And we need to learn how to trust Him and Him alone.
Amen.
Circumstances, don't they surround us, and sometimes they're just yuck. I mean, they're horrible. But God never, He doesn't sway according to circumstances. He's a solid rock. No matter what we do, go through, going to go through, you can depend on God. So as your pastor, I pray that we as a church, you as an individual, would learn that lesson of trusting God. Sometimes it takes some pretty crummy circumstances to draw us to that trust. But realize that God's like this thing here. It's solid. Solid. God is solid. It's gonna be, he will not be moved. Speaking about trust and Him being our strength, there's a prayer that I pray every single day for my children and my grandchildren. It's in John chapter 17. So if you would, run over to John chapter 17 and realize that Jesus prays for the disciples, but he also prays for us as he prayed this prayer. So it's John 17, just verses 14 through 19. I want you to picture Jesus right before he's arrested in the garden, and he's alone with God. It's a one-on-one with the Lord. He's seeking his Father, and he's praying for himself, he's praying for the disciples, and he's also praying for us today. So starting verse 14 with me, John chapter 17, verse 14, the Bible says, I have given them, talking about them and us, your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is your truth. Let's just go ahead and read verses 18 and 19 too. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify them myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Every day I pray that for my kids and grandkids, that God would protect them from all harm and from the evil one. And that's what Jesus is praying for his disciples. And we pray that God the Father would protect us as he protected Jesus. He is our strength. He is our protection. And let me share with you this thought. God put you right where you're at this very moment. Wherever you're at, in the workplace, in the play place, wherever you're at, God has placed you right there. And if you trust God, according to Psalm 125, if you trust God, the world is going to hate you. They will get used to it. They're going to attack you, but Jesus will give you strength. He's praying even today that God will protect you from that. He'll also keep you. He'll protect you in everything that you go through. And I'm going to be talking about trusting God. Realize that whatever you go through, God is protecting you right now. It may seem pretty bad. God's there. You know, when I pray for people, especially people that have lost loved ones, my prayer is that God would wrap his arms around them and hold them up, encourage them, and protect them. Times of funerals, sometimes there's some heartaches that are verbalized. Sometimes there's some bickering and fighting going on. Sometimes between brothers and sisters, sometimes between brothers and sisters in Christ. So I pray God protect them and give them strength to get through this mess. And God does. Always. He prays that even though people will hate us, Satan will hate us more. Amen. And he'll attack us when you least expect it. And I've been praying through this. All these things are building up in my heart. I'm getting more and more excited about these. And we're going to get to Psalm 133 in a little bit. Not today, but in a couple of weeks. If I make it in a couple of weeks, maybe five more weeks. But whatever it is, it's good. It's real good. It talks about God's people in unity. And I wrote in my Bible as I read that, that is a pastor's prayer for his church, that they be unified together, because I'm getting off subject here. When we're unified together, man, we can go through this world and make a difference. We can get God's purposes accomplished. So anyways, he sanctifies us and protects us from the Lord. That's the word sanctify means he sets us apart. Protects us from the evil one. Now think about the weakest time that you go through. That's the time that you probably depend on God more than any time. And I'm going to tell you, probably the Satan's going to leave you alone at that moment. He'll let you come out of it and get strong in the Lord and kind of complacent. Everything's just going straight and okay. And guess what? Satan's going to try to knock you down right there. So we get like that. We get, everything's good, I'm okay, and lo and behold, Satan's right there. So God sanctifies us. He sets us apart, and he protects us from, the Bible says in chapter 17 of John, from the evil one, from Satan. So I'm so grateful that he has written these verses for us. But there are several things that can keep us from accomplishing, trusting God, and accomplishing the purpose that God has put in our hearts. And so I came up, there's a bunch of them I came up with. I want to share with you three things that will cause Christians to fall away from God, to get us out of his will. And the first one is the lust of the flesh. We desire pleasure over anything else. Now, if we're not careful as Christians, we're getting such a I'm okay with the Lord way that we get bombarded with pleasures. I want to say what's on my heart, my mind. If you're offended by it, get over it. You know, pleasures. I bought a fishing license. I bought four fishing licenses since I've been here. 16 years, four fishing licenses. You know how many times I've used my fishing license? twice. So I bought a lifetime fishing license a couple of weeks ago. Stupid. But you know why I don't use those fishing licenses? I've been invited to go fishing because I feel guilty. I know that's wrong. But I also see people that will forsake church to go fishing. That's wrong too. Sunday wasn't made to go fishing or hunting or anything like that. Sundays is made for what? Worship. Made for God. So pleasures of this world can overwhelm a Christian pretty easily. Opening day of deer season, if it's on Sunday, guess what? Our attendance is going to go down. I'm not even going to look. Be careful of the pleasures of this world. Lust of the eyes. Usually this is sexual. Usually this is for things that God intended for us not to be or look at. Christians get caught up in that. As we get caught up in that, guess who's in control then? It's not God. Satan seems like he takes over our lives, so be careful. God has set us apart. Lust of the eyes can also be for possessions, gathering things. I wrote down the scripture I want to share with you, but I'll just tell you what it is. A man, Jesus told a parable about a man that had such a great harvest that his barns wouldn't hold it all. So he tore those boogers down and built new ones so that he could put more belongings in. Right after he got those finished, guess what happened? The Lord took him out. He died. What good were their barns and the possessions that went in the barns if you can't live to enjoy them? Christians, be careful. These things are troublesome away from the Lord. Pride of life, desires for position and prestige. Power. You say, preacher, I don't have to worry about that, but some Christians do. Just be careful. God has prayed that prayer for us. God, protect your children. They're going to be hated by the world. They're going to be attacked by Satan. The pleasures of this world are going to attack big time. They're going to get caught up in it. So Lord, protect us. Protect them. We're going to look at Psalm 125. That's all we're doing in Psalm 125, starting in verses 1 and 2. And these two verses are going to be the answers to our problems. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. The Bible tells us that if you trust God, then you belong to Him and you're secure in Him. Big statement. If you trust God, then you're secure in God. Verses 1 and 2 are not necessarily about you. They're all about God, the characteristics of God, who God is, what He can do, and He can do all things. You know, that song the men sang, by one word. God spoke a word and this world was created. By one word, everything in this world was created by God. He still does that today. Amen. Trust Him. Remember, they're singing these songs as they go up the hill to worship the mountaintops. The closer they get to Jerusalem after singing these songs, and some of them started way back yonder, miles and miles, even probably 50, 60, 100 miles away, maybe. I don't know how far they travel. But they're singing these songs, and the closer they get to Jerusalem, the more excited they get as they see Mount Zion. Man, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, how excited are we today to be in God's house? Amen. What did we do to prepare to get in God's house today? They've been traveling, I don't know how long, several weeks, a month, 6 weeks, to get to God's house in Jerusalem to worship in the temple. We can come every single Sunday. How excited are you to be here and to know that you're secure in God.
Amen.
Those who trust in the Lord, as we look at these verses, cannot be moved. See how important it is to trust God? If you trust God, He's immovable. And He grabs His arms and wraps around you, and you can't be moved. I'm looking at some of you, I'm trying not to. As I look around, I see some who just need God's arms to be wrapped around them so that they just know today they're secure. 500 years ago, maybe, and now God is still surrounding us. He's surrounding everything that we do. He's surrounding the new building. The process that we've gone through has been slow, meticulous. We never gave up on it. We continue to pray through it. And God's opened up those doors. We've gone through the doors. We had to pray every single time before we got to a major ordeal about it. God surrounds his people and protects them, and he becomes our strength. If you look at Jerusalem, the topography of the Jerusalem, you see it surrounded by seven mountains. The Mount of Olives, the Mount of Corruption, the Mount of Scopus, the Mount of Ophel, Old Mount Zion, New Mount Zion, and Antonio Fortress Hill. Seven mountain ranges that surrounds Jerusalem. So they're going up to the mountain tops to worship God, and they see this long fortification, and that is a symbol of God. You put us right in the middle of all those walls, some of them are hundreds of feet tall. You put us right there, and you get the feeling nothing can attack us and have victory over us. And with God, nothing can have victory over us. We are completely surrounded by God and his protection. We're like Mount Zion. We're standing firm because God is Mount Zion and we're part of it. That's for people who trust God. See how important it is to trust God? It seems like this Psalm 125 is written for us as instruction, because we all get in times when we trust. We forget about how strong God is. One word this world was created. Thank you, God. I read a story. Anybody remember Bear Bryant?
Yeah.
Some of you don't. I didn't know who he was. I'm not old enough to know who he was. Bear Bryant was a man. He's a man of confidence, and he knew it. He knew what he could do with Alabama. He knew what he could do with might near, I guess, anything that he tackled. And he didn't accept defeat. So he had a friend, John McKay, and John McKay wrote this. It's a story illustrating the supreme confidence of Bear Bryant of the University of Alabama. John writes, "We were out shooting ducks. And finally, after 3 hours, here comes one lonely duck, and Bear fires. And that duck is still flying today. But Bear watched the duck flap away, and he looked at John and said, 'John, you are witnessing a genuine miracle. There flies a dead duck.'" I wish I'd been there to hear this story. That's confidence. Sometimes we can't see the protection of God. It's like that duck continues to fly. Bear knew how lucky that duck was. But we sometimes forget or can't see the protection of God. Sometimes we don't see the miracles happening around us. Sometimes because we can't see, we don't trust God like we ought to. God's involved. You're seeing a miracle. Not necessarily that duck that's still flying, but you're seeing God having his way with us, protecting us from Satan, from those people in this world that hate us because we trust the Lord. Circumstances, he still protects us from those crooked circumstances. We go through them, but God goes through them with us, and he brings us out of them, and we're stronger for it. Let's keep on going, and we'll kind of wrap this up with verses 3 through 5. "For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to the iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. want to zero in at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. He's not talking about good, good. He's talking about being good in the Lord, being righteous. So my question to you from this verse is, do you do good? Do you live according to God's word? I want you to think about that. All the things that we do this morning, if we come to church with the intentions of worshiping God, or did we come to church just to fellowship with each other, which is not bad, but this is God's day. This is the day we worship God. Do you live according to God's word and do good in your marriage, at your workplace? Do you live an upright life, one that people see Jesus through you and in you? Do you turn away from the crooked, sinful ways of this world? You know how I sometimes just keep talking. I'm going to keep on talking now. On my way home, I promise you I'll see somebody with a car washed out here, washing their car when they ought to be in church on Sundays. I'll be going home if it's summertime, and I'll see four or five people mowing their yard. So I'm going home from church. I ought to be in church. Some of them are Christians. Some of them I know. Are they doing good? Are they living according to God's word? What's God's word say about the Sabbath? To keep it holy? To worship God? Do we always? God is looking for us to always keep his word. Well, I'm going to close with the story of overconfidence. And it points us to understand or realize that sometimes we can have a lazy trust in God. And what I mean by that is we can get so confident in God that we quit doing our job and let God do his, and then we just kind of forget about what we're supposed to be doing. Overconfidence coupled with negligence can lead to sad consequences. This is the case when a person is so sure of himself that he becomes careless about little things that may pose a threat in his life. I'm thinking, for example, of a stuntman named Bobby Leach. In July 1911, he went over Niagara Falls in a specially designed steel drum and lived to tell about it. Although he suffered minor injuries, he survived because he recognized the tremendous dangers involved in the feat, and because he'd done everything he could to protect himself from harm. He went over and above to protect that barrel so that once he went over, he'd get out and tell people about it. Several years after that incident, while walking down the street in New Zealand, Bobby Leach slipped on an orange peel, fell, and badly fractured his leg. He was taken to a hospital where he later died of complications from that fall. He received a greater injury walking down the street than he sustained in going over Niagara. He was not prepared for the danger in his everyday life. And he ended up dying. How many of us pray for those big events in our spiritual life? We cover them in prayer, yet every single day we get in our vehicle to go to work, most of us do, and we never once ask God to protect us from here to there. And then we get to work and we forget about God and we start living for ourselves at work. Everyone's asking God to help us represent him at work. You see where I'm going with this? God's going to be God, and I'm covered, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, but God wants us to do our part too. James would call it, works without faith is dead. He's not getting us to heaven by works. He's just doing God's part, and we're doing our part. Our part is to pray. Our part is to be righteous in God's eyes, is to follow the word of God. I'm through. I'll look at this side. You know, I'm through. I'm going to share this with you. I have an invitation. Steve. Wednesday. And as you said that, there wasn't much of a response yet. And then my wife whispered, that's a yay-hoo moment. Boy, you're going to knock me over with a feather. She doesn't normally say that. You know, the preacher says that. But being here today is really a yay-hoo moment.
Amen.
Yeah, or yay-hoo.
Amen.
When we come to God's house to worship, that's the pinnacle. That's right up there with the Lord. We ought to be excited about being here.
Amen.
The song service was great. The prayers were great. Sunday school was great. Preaching was suspect. But put it all together, you know, it was good to be in God's house. And I was glad David said when they said, let's go to the house of God. That's what these songs, as we sing each one, it just draws us closer to God. Makes us really excited about the Lord. Well, we're going to pray. And then we'll have our invitation. Father, Lord, God, thank you for being here today with us, being our God, our Lord, our Savior. Thank you for the Word of God, Lord, that we can hear it, learn it, and apply it to our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would learn how to trust you in every part of our life. Father, Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but pray your supplication with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that everything will be okay with you. God, there's a word in verse 1, if my people will trust me. Maybe, Lord, there's somebody in here that is not their people, they haven't accepted you as their Savior. Lord, today would be a good day to hear you knocking on the door of their heart saying, I need you in my kingdom, I want you to be saved. Father, let them realize that today can be so easy. Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And come into my heart, come into my life. Father, I'll give an invitation. They can come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need Jesus. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters just